Welcome to Life Without Secrets. Do you often find yourself comparing your life to your friends on social media? You see the glamour, the success, the perfect family, the perfect kids, the awesome vacations. But what's really behind the highlight reel? In Life Without Secrets, we are going to dive deep and reveal the secrets, struggles, and strategies people have used in real life to get to who they are now and who they are becoming. Because the truth is, nobody is perfect. And you are never alone in what you're going through. So don't forget to subscribe to the show because it's time to connect on a deeper level and grow together.
Hey everyone, welcome back to our latest episode. If you've ever felt like you're chasing achievement after achievement, but still feeling unfulfilled, like a life looks good, great on paper, but your heart and body are screaming for something more, then you're in the right place. We're talking with Christy Cool, who went from corporate success in the medical device industry to a life that's fully aligned with her authentic self. Today, she's sharing her insights on mastering the art of saying no, choosing courage over fear, and designing a life that doesn't just look good on paper, but feels amazing too. If you're ready to move from a life of success without fulfillment to one of genuine joy and achievement, let's dive in. Christy, welcome to Life Without Secrets.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to chat with you on here and go a little deeper. We got to have a conversation off of the podcast, a couple weeks ago now. And yeah. I'm like, I wish I just hit record. So here we are. And I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper today on your story. And so we're just going to jump right in. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me about your story when we had talked was the idea that, you know, you had all this achievement and success and you were really like doing the best at something. You know, everybody looked up to you for what you were doing, and yet you still were feeling unfulfilled, like at a soul level. So do you mind just sharing your journey and how you came to this realization that the achievement alone wasn't fulfilling for you?
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's a great question. And I feel honored to be able to share it because I feel like there's a lot of people that are probably feeling the same way out there. And, you know, sometimes we don't have the words for it. We just know that something is not off. And I think that that was probably the first sign, is that I just knew that there was more out there and I didn't quite know how to get there or what was there. And life was so busy, I just stayed on this hamster wheel. For me, I think it's really powerful, and I didn't know it at the time, how important it is to have mentors and peers and coaches and just get into bigger rooms and hear stories. And I had found myself in a Tony Robbins room for the very first time. And it was because I had gone through a divorce. I was starting to date. I recognized that I was like not doing so well in that department. And I heard him say something about that. And I thought, gosh, I think I could learn something here. And that drove me to get into his rooms. And then my perspective just got so much bigger in all these other areas of my life that I didn't even know that it needed to get bigger. And that's when I heard him talk about fulfillment and people that, you know, he said success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think he finds like those are the words to that match what I'm feeling. And then I went down that rabbit hole of figuring out, you know, what makes me feel fulfilled and versus where I was.
Yeah. It's so funny that you say that too, because I remember telling you like our stories are kind of similar in a way, because I remember my husband was like in personal development and all that. And I was just feeling like at a low in my life and just not feeling fulfilled in my relationship and anything I was doing. And I also actually did the same thing at the Tony Robbins event, but online. And it was just a huge eye opener of like what was possible and what I was really missing. And so how did this look for you? Because I think we talked about before, like, there was health stuff going on that really was like also making you feel misaligned in your career and your personal values. And how did you start to recognize these signs, and what steps did you initially take toward that change?
Yeah. So he put us through an exercise that he had us write down when I was at the Tony Robbins event still, what makes us feel fulfilled. And so I started to write things. I was like, wow, I don't think I even know. And it took me a long time to start to fill this blank piece of paper. And I came up with things, Jillian, that were like so basic. And I was like, you know, driving, like just driving towards achievement, buying expensive stuff, going on trips. Now, all that stuff is still important to me, but it's not like that does not define who I am, but that was defining my significance. It was feeding it. And so once I could put these things on paper, I was like, oh my gosh, it's giving back. It's pouring into people. It's being present. It's being in nature. It's getting a good night's sleep. It's being able to go to the gym 5 days. It's being hydrated. And I was like, these are basic things that I have been discounting for my entire life now up to 36. I'm 43 now, and all this was happening like 35, 36. So I believe for me, once I see, I can't unsee. And so once I had all of that on paper and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the basic things in life that I have been discounting, chasing achievement, which is all childhood stuff that I had to figure out. I got to find a way to get this basic stuff back into my life. And at that time, you know, my health was, I was tired. It was all stacking against, up against me. I wasn't going to the bathroom every day. I wasn't hydrated. I wasn't eating, you know, and then I thought, gosh, like, you know, this really affects people's health in a bad way. And some people don't come back from this. I recognize that if I stay on the path that I'm on, I would fulfillment is here. So I would never cross over and reach fulfillment. And so once I saw that, I couldn't unsee, and I knew I had to leave corporate America. I didn't do it right away, but I knew, I was like, oh my gosh, it was right in front of my face and I didn't want to accept it. And so I did what a lot of people would do. I took a vacation.
That's all I need. That'll fix it. So you went on this vacation, and then what was it like to create that change in your life? Like, it was over time. Maybe talk about what was the hardest part about making the change.
Yeah. So I went on the vacation and I got rested and I slept for, you know, a few days in a row, and I didn't check my emails, and the stress, like life, like normalized maybe a week. I think it was a 10-day vacation. And I'm like, I got this. I can come back and I can totally, like, you know, I can do both of these things at the same time. And 4 days back into work, I'm like, okay, I can't. There's absolutely no way. And so the hardest part for me was unraveling the attachment that I had with the job and my ego. So, you know, the money was a piece of it, but it was more that I could do something that most people couldn't do. And I know that you are like, you're an ER nurse, and not many people can do what you do and think on your feet. And you know, that is so unique and so amazing. But imagine having that be attached to your ego. And that's how it was for me. And I thought, well, gosh, here I am. And, like, you know, top percentage year over year over year, nobody can do this job. And I was recognizing that if I walked away, then it was ripping a piece of my identity, a huge piece of my identity away from me. And that was very scary.
Yeah. So what was your biggest fear in, like, stepping into something new?
That my, like, nobody would know me. The reputation that I had built, it's like, well, who's Christy Cool anymore, right? So, like, I was heavily recruited across all these companies. I was always the one that was selected. And this is, it's so crazy what the brain does and what you do to yourself. But, like, I didn't want these promotions, but you know what? I would have been devastated if they didn't at least offer them to me, right? And so it's like I'm telling you all the, like, the good, bad, and the really bad stuff that's kind of embarrassing, but it was all ego driven. Like, okay, now I'm going to go over here and nobody's going to know who I am or what I've accomplished. And I'm going to be like your everyday Joe, which I guess Jane, your everyday Jane. But it, you know, like, that is where the magic has really, like, that's been the silver lining for me, because to me, like, it's all about how I make people feel. And I could give, you know, I could care less about my name anymore. I just want to have my presence be remembered, and the, you know, you to know what it was like to walk through a doorway with me, or have a cup of coffee with me, or just be in my presence for a moment.
Yeah. So as you're going through this change and you're really going through this huge identity shift in your life, right? Regardless of whether you are accepting of the change, it's still like, it is a piece of our identity. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, what I do in the ER is a piece of my identity, right? And, like, to lose that is huge. And I actually watched my husband go through that as well. He was a police officer, and then he left police work and went into like mortgage banking, and now he does a bunch of other things. But like watching him walk through that process was so rough because there is such an identity shift. I want to know specifically, how did that impact relationships in your life? Because I think so often people in our lives see us like almost like we see ourselves in this little identity box of like what we do, right? And then when we start like shifting and changing, not only are we uncomfortable, but like sometimes the people closest to us get uncomfortable with it too. And it almost makes this resistance to change even harder for people. So I'd love to hear like how that was, how did that impact your relationships in your life? What did you do to navigate that? And how did that feel for you?
Yeah. Well, the interesting part was like to watch people introduce me, because it's like they I didn't have a title anymore. And when I left, like I didn't really know what I was going to do. I think I told you that everybody was like, oh, you need to be a life coach. And I was resisting that for a long time. And so watching people like fumble and they really quite weren't sure, like, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I am an amazing giver and I am always going to be the person that drops everything to come and help you. And I rescue dogs and I like all these amazing things. And to watch their introduction just be like, again, the titles, what I've accomplished, etc. That was really eye-opening for me. Sometimes people don't mean it. It's just like, you know, but I did take it personally. My parents were, I told them last because they were fearful. They were scared. And I was scared too. I didn't know, like I knew in my heart that I was going to become something amazing on this other side. But I told them last because they're worried about how she's going to survive. Is she going to make money? You know, she quit her job, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part after that, I think that there was another group of people that were just happy to see me connect to the things that they probably thought that I needed to be more connected and aligned with for the longest time. And then the people that that really knew me intimately, like they already saw the beautiful things outside. Like they didn't care about the job. It was me that cared about the job and the title and all those accolades. So it was just kind of nice to finally, I think, see myself and embrace the simplicity in the way that everybody else did. And it really came back to core values. And you hear this stuff over and over and over again, how important it is to align with people that have similar core values, you know, faith and integrity and respect and appreciation and truth. And it's like, gosh, that's what I want to be known for.
Yeah. So did you create a new tribe, or did you already kind of have a tribe like that around you?
I had a tribe like that around me. It was just, I had to see myself differently, you know?
That's really cool. So despite your own fears of stepping into something new, and despite the fears of those around you, like parents or maybe close friends that weren't sure how this was going to turn out or what have you, how can we learn, and how did you learn maybe, to choose courage over fear, like in the process? What strategies, or is there some strategies that you can recommend for someone struggling to step out of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I certainly can. You're never going to get out of your situation if fear gets the best of you. So if you are trying to get to the next level, you're going to feel fear. And I'm telling you, it sucks. But it means that you're doing and you're thinking bigger and you're on your way to something greater. I would really encourage you to get around people that are doing things that are uncomfortable, because that fear feeling ends up becoming a norm, and you're going to watch them blow through that fear too. They're going to feel it. Like it's inevitable. You're going to feel it, but the difference is some people go through it and others get stunted by it. It's funny, cause I'm like dressed in business clothes, but I'm not usually dressed like this every day. I was just on the Today Show and I filmed a couple episodes and I talked about this, embracing change. It's spring. And so like, I get really excited. I love the energy of something new. I really love how I feel, although it's a little scary. I would encourage people to embrace the curiosity of what could be on the other side of this. And there's an author who I've gotten some coaching from recently, Laura Gastner-Auden, who says over and over again, like when she asks people, well, what are you going to do if it doesn't work out? everybody always has a plan. Everybody, like, I'll just go back to be an ER nurse, or I'll just go back to medical device, or I don't know. Like when you ask that question, everybody already has a plan if it doesn't work out. But can you think and can you dream for a minute about what if it does work out? That's what Laura says. Like, what if it does work? So can you, yes, it's, you feel the fear, get around people, know that this is a normal part of the process. And if you're not feeling this, you're not growing. But can you channel all your attention and your energy and your effort to what does that new life look like? If it all works out, tell me all about it and get excited about that.
Yeah, I love that. And it is spring. I'm so excited. It's why I wore my little springy shirt, actually. I was like, yeah, I love spring because it's like, you know, it's one of my favorite seasons. And you're right. It is like such a great analogy to life and like how we can change. And if we expect something to grow when we plant it, and then what if it works out? What if it does bloom into this beautiful flower, right? Like, what if? And I think too, I've always looked at things from when I was a teenager, actually. And I always also ask myself, will I regret in 5 years if I don't do it? Right. Because what if it could be so beautiful? And in 5 years from now, like, am I going to regret not doing that thing? Because there's going to be challenges in every aspect, whether we stay in our comfortable job or we actually go after the thing, like, in 5 years from now, like, there's going to be challenges. So which one did you want, you know? And so such a good reminder. How do you define fulfillment in your life now? And has this definition shaped the way you now coach others?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think I had a conversation with a death doula, and she was an oncology nurse. I'm going to interview her on my podcast in a couple of weeks. And she was an oncology nurse for years and years and years. And now she's a death doula, and she's got this big business training others to do the same. And I asked her, you know, what, like, so when you talk to people that are dying every single day, and it's, and what is their biggest regret? And it's the fact that they cared what other people thought. At the end of the day, nobody cares. They care about you, but we put way too much weight on what other people would think. And so, you know, I think that for me, what defines my fulfillment right now is how I leave people every single day. Like I don't care about the money. I don't care about the titles. I care about the person that's in front of me. And did they feel like I cared about them? And I asked good questions and I made their day better. And it's like, you know, when I did this exercise, another exercise in the Tony Robbins rooms, it was like all these rules that you put on yourself. And I'm like, oh, I have to have the best body. I have to be number one in sales. I have to be picked for promotion. I have to, like, think about the stress I put on myself just to freaking show up every single day. Like, it's damn near impossible to hit that bar. But what if the bar now is set, Jillian, that I just want to make you feel amazing today? You know, I want you to know that I care about you. I want to be present enough to know, like, is she okay? Is there something I should say? Should I crack a joke right now? Should I, like, oh my God, I can show up for that. You know, I can show up for that all freaking day. And it makes me happy because the helper's high is a real thing for me. And so if I can get a couple W's on the board like that, then, like, it's amazing all the other stuff that opens up. But oh my gosh, like, I didn't even want to show up for the day. And I didn't even realize that. So it's pretty simple. Like, to me, it's the basic things. And I think that if you can start stacking a couple wins that feel good to you, then you're off to the races.
Now, has this really changed the way you approach your goals and ambitions today?
What part of it?
Your new take on, like, taking the pressure off of you and, like, here I am, like, expecting myself to perform in this way, and, like, without even realizing it, now you're looking at it and going, well, like, I'm taking the pressure off myself in a way that means that I get to impact someone else today in their life. It's not just about me and the level that I've held myself to. How does this impact the way you kind of approach goals in the future?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or develop them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's all the way, like, I'm big on framing, reframing, pre-framing, post-framing. So the goals are still there. I'm still a very ambitious person. I still have, like, a lot of goals, but what I've realized is that if you can create systems around the goals, then I can show up for that and make that fun. So as an example, I used to always go in the gym, and it was me in the gym for the past 20 years. And I wanted to look a certain way, and it was stressful. I had to figure out the programming, and I had to be in there at a certain time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I still have a goal of looking a certain way, but I found another way to get there that is a lot less stressful. So to me, it's like, how can I have fun? How can I have a good time, but still reach it too? So I joined Burn Bootcamp. All I do is show up. I grab a couple high fives, right? Grab a couple high fives, and they have the whole freaking workout figured out for me. And now I just do what they say, and I walk out of there. And like, how freaking easy is that versus me sitting here trying to figure out what I need to do? Now I have to get myself motivated. Now I got to get in the gym. Now I got to get through it myself. Like, which one sounds more fun? So I feel like everything in my life now has been shifted to more of like, how can I show up as this version of Christy and still get it done, if that makes sense? And I can show up and go to Burn Bootcamp, and I walk out with the same body that it took me. And I'll tell you what, I was not a nice person when I had to figure out my own workouts and get myself there and get motivated, right? Like, I was stress. So I think that there's an easier way if we can find it. And if I help enough people get what they want in life and I solve enough problems, guess what? The money comes. So I'm looking, Jillian, for people that I can help and coach in their businesses and in their personal life that have similar values to me that are ready to make the change. So if you have similar values, you can pick up what I'm laying down and you're ready to make the changes. Now I can see progression, and I thrive on progression. And so now I'm around people that I really like to hang out with. They appreciate the information. They're ready to put it into action. And guess what? I'm still this person over here versus going to corporate America, being around people with misaligned values, doing a job that nobody appreciates, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And kind of goes to my next thing that I wanted to ask you about was mastering the art of saying no. Right? Because you had to say no to a lot in your life, whether it was like leaving the job or whether it was like, you know what, I don't need to sit here and do these workout plans myself. Like, or maybe it's like someone that, you know, isn't ready for coaching because they're not, you know, that's a no. Right? So there's things in our life that we need to say no to in order to get what we really want. But it's crucial for setting boundaries, I'm sure, and prioritizing what's important and what we value. But can you share kind of a personal example of how saying no led to a positive outcome in your life or career? You've kind of touched on some already, but there was another example. And then for all of our recovering people pleasers like myself, do you have any tips for mastering the art of saying no?
Yeah, I do. I do. So, you know, I think we talked a little bit about human design before, and it's astrology and Kabbalah and quantum physics had a baby, plus probably a bunch of other things. And one of the things that I recognize through the help of that, it's like, I already knew it, but my energy is everything. And so it'll shift the room, it'll influence people. And so when I'm talking about like who am I working with and the values and going to Burn Bootcamp, like I want to be happy and peaceful all the time. And so life is going to happen. And I put a lot of pressure. I'm like, I'm my own worst enemy, just like a lot of other people are to themselves. But that became the, like, really the question that I asked myself. And so how does this feel? Like, if I said yes to something, but I really meant no, then how does it feel? Do you really want to show up? Do you feel sad? Do you feel angry? Did it shift and change my energy? And if the answer is yes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like, how do I not say no? Or how do I say no in the future? More times than not, it's just coming up with a phrase that you feel comfortable getting yourself out of that. So it could be just that you just need a couple phrases that if somebody puts you on the spot or whatever it may be, you have to give yourself permission first and foremost, and then have the words behind it. I think where people struggle the most is when they don't have a conflict on their schedule. They just don't want to do it, right? So when it's like a matter of self-care, or I just want to stay home because I know I really need this. I've been traveling for a long time. Like, I just need tonight and tomorrow to recalibrate myself. Usually that's when people are really hard on themselves. But, you know, if I were to say something like, Jillian, oh my gosh, that sounds like such a great time. I'm so sorry I'm not able to make it, but I can't wait to catch up with you soon. Let's get our, you know, account. Let's, once you get past this, this event or whatever this evening, let's get together and find a time that we can connect. Or, oh my gosh, that birthday party sounds amazing. Unfortunately, I can't make it, but I can't wait to see the pictures. Because maybe it's somebody that you don't want to see in the future, but you just want to say something nice. So oftentimes just having the words. The other thing that I think is really helpful is to go, okay, is this getting me closer to my goal? And if it's not getting me closer to my goal, then it's a freaking no. It's a no. So then you go back to, okay, how do I get myself out of this gracefully? Because nobody wants to be mean. Nobody, more times than not, we just don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so if you can put some time into going like, okay, what can I say? It's Jillian. How can I take Christy's phrase and make it mine so that they still feel love, they still feel my heart, but I'm still protecting my peace? And because we only have so many hours in the day, I'm an introvert. And so the more things I say yes to, like for me, my battery is like this. So like if I don't get the alone time, I'm never going to recharge this. So when I wake up in the morning, everything that I say yes to, my battery's coming down, down, down. Now, if I say yes to too many things that aren't getting me closer to my goal or things that I want to do, then it's going to drain my battery and I'm the last on the list. So it's kind of like a them versus me.
Yeah. And not only you're the last, but like the things like that are important for your business are last and everything else, right? I also see this in my own life a lot because I have to keep going back to what's the solution, because sometimes I'll say yes to too many things. And then I find myself almost in this mindset of being problem focused, because then I feel like I'm in a problem because I said yes to so many things. And so when I switch my brain in those circumstances to like, what's the solution? Making the solution something that's good for me to the problem, I find it easier to find like the right thing to say or like the right thing to do in my calendar so that I can accomplish all of these things.
Yeah, I love that you found a way to serve yourself there. Yeah, that's the way it works for you. You're a problem solver.
I had to really like, what is the solution? Because I just created all these problems for myself. I'm really good at that. So for people that are listening and maybe feeling stuck in their career or their personal life, what would be like a first piece of advice to help them start on their journey towards more fulfillment and success?
Yeah. So I think that they need to identify what makes them feel fulfilled. So it was interesting because when I went through that exercise and I put these things on paper, I'm like, well, how in the world am I ever going to make any money? Because like, you know, I'm in a feel like in my mind, I'm like, I'm walking through a woods because I said nature and I like to rescue dogs and I like to pour into people. Coaching wasn't even on my radar. And so, you know, and Gary Vee talks about this too. Like, what do you love to do? And I was like, I love to help people. I really do. And so I think it's important to be very honest with yourself about what makes you feel fulfilled. And if you could say, okay, what do my days look like? Like, here's another thing, Jillian, in the beginning that was helpful to me. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do and feel anymore. And I didn't want to feel tired. I didn't want to feel stressed. I didn't want to feel worn out. I didn't want to feel like life was passing me by. And so a lot of times they say, if your why doesn't make you cry, it's not big enough. Well, my, I didn't even know a why, but I had like all the things that I didn't want to do. So maybe start there and think about how do you want your days to look? And so that was really helpful for me because I had gone on a trip with somebody who could have stayed gone for weeks at a time. And I caught up and I was like, oh my gosh, this would be really cool to be able to work remotely. So that became like a piece of my wish list that I wanted the flexibility to work remotely and to be able to travel. And if I might just be a phone call away. And then I also like to go to bed early. Like, as crazy as it sounds, I love to get up early and I love to go to bed early. Like 9 o'clock, I'm like, the plane is landing like at 8 and I shouldn't be allowed to talk to anybody between like after 8 o'clock. And I'm telling you, this is the littlest stuff, but it really is the big stuff at the end of the day, because that is what works best for me. And so I just was writing things down. I'm like, I want to make a massive impact on people. I want the freedom and flexibility to work the hours that I, if I want to get up at work at 4 a.m., I can. And I can do that now. And not that I have coaching calls, but I can write, I can work on content, whatever it is, I can do that if I want to. I like to work out, I like to prioritize. So when you identify these things that may be little, they're really big, and make them non-negotiables. So as this is all coming together for you, like for me, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be around people that have conflicting core values because that feels really awful. I want to make an impact on people. I want people to, my information to be able to land. I want to be able to have my little dog on my lap and take her with me. I want to be able to work out. I want to be able to go to bed early and get up early. Like that sounds kind of crazy, but I'm telling you what, like the fact that I can do all those things really is the sweet spot in life for me. So just start to, you know, write those things down. And then whatever it is that I started to evaluate had to go across that limit, that test. And sure, I get out of balance just like we all do, but I can bring myself back. I don't have to live over there out of balance, you know, life, travel, an opportunity, a speaking gig, you know, corporate client, etc. Yeah, it's not always going to be perfect, but my home is my compass, and I have the ability to bring myself back there whenever I want to.
Yeah, so good. I love all that advice. I want to go back a little bit to achievements, right? Because we kind of touched on the fact that, like, you know, when you were wanting those achievements in your past, it was for a different reason. It's usually from our childhood. And now it's different. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was? Because I think a lot of people can relate to that and maybe not even realizing or connecting the dots there. Because, and I did the same thing in my own life where, you know, I went from teen mom to valedictorian and I was like, I'm going to prove to the world, right? And so can you share a little bit about like what that was like for you?
Well, you know, you just hit the nail on the head because I was watching a documentary this weekend called Stutz. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's Jonah Hill interviewing his psychotherapist whose last name is Stutz. And he's talking about this life force energy. And he also talked about shadow work. And, you know, that's something a lot of people don't ever want to go there, including myself. It's like, I'm just going to keep this shadow to myself. But, you know, there's two things. So growing up, one stoplight town, always interested in what other people had, the clothes, the shoes, the lifestyle, etc. And, you know, being told we don't have money for this, we don't have money for this. Like I made a decision early on that I was going to have financial freedom, period, end of story. The other thing, so that was a piece of, you know, that train that I was on. The other piece that I have realized, and then it was again this weekend, I did a little shadow work on myself, was that recognition became a piece of my identity. So, and if I couldn't be good at something and get the recognition, I really didn't want to do it. So I found something that I was really good at and I was getting all this recognition. It wasn't necessarily, I think the money was more the financial freedom, the trauma that I felt with that, but it was more the recognition. Like, okay, she's good. Her name's up in lights, everybody, you know? And then, so I had to go back to that version of myself, really, and it sounds silly, but have a conversation and bring her along with. And I talked about framing and reframing. Like I had to reframe what recognition was. And it's really, you know, for me now, recognition is like, I also felt like I was misunderstood a lot. Because I see the world a little differently. I feel, you know, at like a highly sensitive level too. And I just think it was my child mind making decisions. I probably wasn't misunderstood. It was my interpretation of it, but that's what happens. And it sets us on a path. And so I'm okay with all of that. You know, I just now I want to make an impact on other people. And the only thing that matters to me is that my heart was in the right place, that I made an impact on their life. And it really feels good if they saw and felt it too.
Yeah, I think that's just such a good point for people to hear, you know, because I think that a lot of times we don't notice, like we feel something's not right. And we feel this feeling of being unfulfilled, even though, you know, we've done all of these things that we were proving to ourselves or the world that we could have or do. And I think it takes a moment. And it sounds like for you, it was the Tony Robbins event that really started creating an environment in your mind where you could start asking yourself the deeper questions. And, you know, I just, you know, wanted to take a minute to talk about that because I think it's so important for people to take a pause right now and just in life in general, before life gives us the pause. Because I think too, like, I'll be honest, just this last week for me, I was supposed to be in Puerto Rico and I was super excited. I've been looking forward to this vacation in Puerto Rico for months. It was with my husband and we were going for a mastermind that we do with Scott Donnell, and it's, you know, business and family and learning all this stuff and getting to connect with these amazing people. And I was so excited. And it was almost like since the beginning of the year, I had been a little bit on like a hamster wheel. And I had been working really hard, like on my course and all the things I wanted to do in 2024. And then I get a phone call. I was in San Diego because I was talking to a bunch of fifth graders about on Career Day. It was so cool. And it was such an honor to be there. But I literally finished the presentation. I get this phone call and it's my son's friend calling me, freaking out because my son had fell back and hit his head on the concrete and lost consciousness. And he was only remembering things for like 30 seconds to 2 minutes at a time. And like in that moment, like nothing else mattered to me than being home and with my kid. And, you know, I was so worried. And thankfully, like I do work in the ER. And so I knew like he went to my ER where I work. And my, you know, ER coworkers and family there were taking care of him. And that gave me comfort, even though I like all I wanted to do was be here. And then I had to make the really tough decision on like whether I was going to go to Puerto Rico or not. And like in my heart, though, I knew I was not leaving my baby, even though he's 17, even if he was like getting a little bit better. And for 24 hours, he really wasn't getting better. But it was in those moments, it was really scary. But, you know, since then, he has like made lots of progress. He's a little bit light sensitive still. But other than that, like he's doing so much better. He just doesn't remember the date of the event or a little bit before. But otherwise, he's doing really good. But like, even though I didn't get to go on this trip I'd been looking for, I got this moment to pause and to like reflect. And, you know, I think like for people listening, like maybe just listening to this podcast and taking that moment, whether it's going for a walk in nature or just sitting on your own with your journal and just like asking yourself those deeper questions, because oftentimes we don't get those moments in our life, like you at the Tony Robbins event or like me at a Tony Robbins event or, you know, those moments like where things just get busy and life happens, right? And it takes us a second to go like, where, what am I doing? Like, where am I? And like, am I really filling up my own cup in this journey right now? You know, and is this what really matters? I just bring that up because I just, you know, I think like in anything that we do, it's easy to get wrapped up in the achievements, right? And so even if it's like, you know, even if it's this thing that makes us feel good, you know, we still can get wrapped up in those achievements and lose the bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, right? And I'll give you another example. So, like, you know, I'm like new in a relationship, and I think there's so much power in the pause. And when you're around people, and even when life is going great, to be able to take a little bit of time with that journal or the walk in nature or the bath, just to be by yourself to go, okay, like this is coming at me so fast. And it may be a relationship for you. It may be a job. It may be a health crisis that is happening. There's a guy, Keith Cunningham, that he schedules time to think every week. And I thought when I heard that, I'm like, that is so freaking brilliant. And so he gave this example, a business example, where somebody asked him a question. He goes, well, I'll get back to you next Friday. And it was like Monday. And they're like, he's like the next Friday. And he goes, well, the next time I'm scheduled to think, I'm traveling this week. So the next time I'm scheduled to think is next Thursday. And the guy was like, And he's like, listen, you know, every Thursday I sit down in the same chair with the same notebook, with the same pen, and I think about something. And so like, think like if you just gave yourself 1 hour a week to sit there and be like, okay, here's the topic. Like nobody does this. Nobody does this. So I think both personally and professionally, if there's a way to take yourself out of the scene, and even if life is going great, and just go, okay, where am I right now? And get really reconnected. I think it's so powerful.
That is so good, Chrissy. Thank you for sharing that. That is so good. And even, yeah, good or something traumatic that happened. Like that is so...
I have another friend, Catherine Lee, and you'll appreciate this. She had a chair when she, because a lot of people were like, they have young kids. They're like, well, when the heck am I supposed to do that? Well, she had 3 young kids and a couple of businesses. And, her time with God is very important. And the kids knew from like itty bitty age that if mom's in that chair, we leave her alone. Right? Like, and she would, whether she would have the Bible in her hand or she would have a journal in her hand, it was like that, like, we don't talk to mom until she's out of that chair. So I just share that because it's like, I think that there's a lot of people that life is coming at them so fast and they're so busy and they're like, well, how do I, you know, what do I do with my 2-year-old that needs me? Or like, they can understand as well.
Yeah. Well, what is something that you're looking forward to in 2024?
Oh my gosh. So many things in 2024. So many things. You know, I feel like life, for me, the journey is never over, and the journey is something that I've really, you know, fallen in love with, is showing up for that versus my previous life was the destination. Very excited that I've set, you know, my sights on love and designing this next chapter of my life to make sure, you know, anything that I do, I know I can make it successful, but making sure that the parameters are set up that where the, you know, the business things aren't putting me back in that mindset where I'm disconnected from that other side of myself, and most especially the feminine side of myself, because that's really where the beauty and the magic lies. So I have a couple new programs that are coming out that I think are really going to be helpful for both the business sector as well as the personal sector. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, being able to share this thing that this person really that I've designed over the past 5 years. I think people don't realize that you can choose who you want to be. And then you can become that person. Like you designed you, right? You decided who you wanted to be and you worked at it and you're still working at it, and it's going to morph and change. And I did the same. So I'm excited to teach that.
I love that. So how can people connect with you and find out more about that as the year goes by?
Yeah, well, I'm Chrissy Cool on all the platforms, all the social media platforms. I have a free coaching newsletter you can find at ChristyCool.com. I release that every Thursday. And I have a podcast that just launched in January, and it's called Keep Rising with Chrissy Cool. And you are going to be on it very soon. I cannot wait to share your story with my audience.
I am so excited. Well, this has been so fun. I also have to tell you, I was telling my son that actually had the head injury yesterday, I think it was, that I was like, oh, I have a podcast tomorrow. And he's like, oh, okay, who's it with? And I was like, her name is Chrissy Cool. And he's like, that is a cool name. So I had to share that with you.
I love
like,
that.
You do have an awesome name.
I'm so blessed with that. It's like, how do I not have that name? You know, like it is
so a very cool name.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today and sharing your journey with us. I'm super excited to be on your podcast as well.
I can't wait. This has been such a pleasure and a blessing. Thank you so much. I think you're such a bright light, and you are a fantastic interviewer.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm so excited to keep connecting in 2024. For those listening, thanks for joining us. And here's to chasing down those dreams and living life on your terms. It's your time to shine.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Life Without Secrets. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.